Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2016, with a release date of Friday, June 17th, 2016, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, a noted DXer dies after a fall from a tower. Amateurs and CB radio operators team up seriously to watch the weather. Another NASA astronaut becomes a ham, and a California city takes earthquake lessons from Nepal. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2016, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
This week's newscast opens with a word of a tragic accident that has hit hard within the international ham radio community. Well-known DX expeditioner and DXer Milt Jensen, N5IA, of Verdon, New Mexico, died on June 9th after falling from a ham radio tower. Newsline Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, spoke with Jensen's wife, Ruline, KB5VTM.
He was just an avid DXer contest person. If we got in the car, he was on the radio all the time. He loved building new things, the challenge of building a better antenna system.
Newsline reached out to Milt Jensen's wife, Ruline, KB5VTM, who shared some of her memories of Milt's de-expeditions.
Actually, he did three. He went to Myanmar twice. The first time he went, I went with him. That was an eye-opener to me. And he had me get on, and I think I spent 2 minutes, and everybody was getting irritated at me because I didn't know what I was doing, so I got off and gave it back to him. He loved it. He and Robin Critchell were there to do the 160 part. That was his main joy, was doing 160. Other than Myanmar, he went to Ducey Island with an international group, and I got on his Facebook the last couple of days, and they've all responded to it from Germany, Lithuania, and I don't remember what other countries, but it was a big one, and I always tease him about living on Gilligan's Island. That's about what that island looked like to me with the pictures.
Ruline got her ham license just to stay in touch with Milt.
He was always gone to a mountaintop to do something. He didn't have cell phones then. He convinced me to take a ham class and learn my code and take the test. I got my license so that I could get hold of him when I needed to. That didn't always work either.
Milt worked for a power utility and learned climbing safety from them.
He was trained in all the safety stuff. He always did tie off, tie off, tie off, have your gear on. So it wasn't that he was careless about climbing.
On June 9th, Milt was in Tucson to help a fellow ham.
The tower he was working on was for a friend, a fellow ham that lived in Tucson that doesn't climb. And so he went to do whatever tower work it was that needed to be done on his tower for him.
Besides Ruline, two of Milt's sons also have ham licenses.
My husband had told our oldest son, sometimes his hand went to sleep and he couldn't hang on. And so we're thinking that that's what it was because he stressed safety. If that was the case, I'm going to slap him when I get up to heaven.
Milt Jensen, K5IA, was 73 years old. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
As a postscript to Milt's passing, we also note that a day later in Ratcliffe, Kentucky, police reported that a man was seriously injured after a fall of about 30 feet from an amateur radio tower. He remained conscious while emergency workers transported him to a hospital in Louisville, where, at press time, there were no further updates on his condition or what led to his fall. With both of these stories in mind, Amateur Radio Newsline urges listeners, on a personal note, to please adhere to strict safety practices when doing any tower work. Can CBers and ham radio operators work hand in hand? The answer is yes. In one Alabama county, where we hear from Newsline Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
In a community of weather watchers, the critical information passed by storm spotters who receive formal training from the National Weather Service is known as ground truth. Those details are lifelines. When serious weather hits, as it does often in tornado-prone places like Dixie Alley, comprising much of the southeast, Dixie Alley gets hit hard with severe weather, and right now, much of the region is bracing again for Atlantic hurricane season, which just started on June 1st. In Jefferson County, Alabama, the most populated county in that southern state, a unique kind of partnership has become paramount. Amateur radio operators passing along this vital ground truth alongside another group of radio operators as part of what some might consider an unlikely team. These other spotters are also trained by the Weather Service, work on the 11-meter band. That's right, you can find them on CB radio. The deployment of CBers and hams has been a priority for the Sylvan Springs Amateur Radio Club in western Jefferson County, and they're proud of their effort. According to James Keller, KF4JQP, a charter member and current president of the club, quote, "We've reached out to members of the community that are NWS-trained spotters but that don't hold an amateur radio license and invited them into our meetings and circles. While we would hope that one day they will become interested in gaining their amateur radio license, but until that day comes, there is a way that they can assist at saving lives," end quote. The Sylvan Springs Amateur Radio Club has installed at their EOC an 11-meter or CB radio base station with its antenna located high atop their ham tower. Keller added, "Whenever we go into a standby alert status, in addition to monitoring our own 2-meter repeater, as well as other severe weather nets, we also monitor 27.065 megahertz or channel 9, which is a reserved and restricted channel by the FCC for emergency communications only. Any information that we receive that meets the NWS criteria for severe weather, damage reports, or any other emergency traffic, we can then immediately pass it on via amateur radio to stations at the NWS, the EMA, the Red Cross, or even to Alabama's state EOC via 80 meters on our state's designated HF emergency frequency of 3.965 megahertz, end quote. CB and ham radio operators may seem at times to be on different parts of the spectrum, in more ways than one, but the idea of this kind of teamwork is catching on in Jefferson County, Alabama. From the perspective of this meteorologist, such creative deployment of radio operators can only lead to expanded weather coverage, and in Dixie Alley, that's a good thing. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
Speaking of weather, one New York ham's devotion to watching for storm systems has won him special recognition. Here is Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Dave Robinson, N4UAR of Oswego County, New York, isn't exactly a fair weather friend. What would be the point of that anyway? His skills and volunteer efforts are especially needed when bad storm systems roll in. He's a trained weather spotter in the Skywarn program of the National Weather Service and a member of the county's Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Services. More recently, Dave became an emergency communications honoree, receiving this year's RACI Service Award for his work in Central New York, where he joined RACI in 2008. That work has not just garnered him honors, it has also kept him busy and made him a leader during drills as well as real weather emergencies. Dave was praised at a recent RACI's meeting by Radio Officer Fred Koch, KA2HPG. Fred said, quote, "Dave is one of the first to show up for RACI's work details. He is a quiet individual who is invaluable to the group as a leader and a mentor," end quote. He now has the award to remind him of that, just in case he gets too busy during the storm season ahead. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
There's a new ham in town, actually above town. He's way, way above town. He's NASA astronaut Scott Tingle, now known as KG5NZA. Having passed his technician exam on June 3rd, he is now getting ready to join the amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, program. Although amateur radio studies are optional during the 2 years of astronaut training he began in Russia, his interest in ham radio grew during his studies, and he was determined to exercise that option. Meanwhile, three amateurs aboard the ISS are to be back home on Earth Saturday, June 18th. They are Expedition 47 Commander Tim Kopra, KE5UDN, Flight Engineer Tim Peake, KG5BVI/GB1SS, and Yuri Malenchenko, RK3DUJP. So with the crew up there always in transition, Scott Tingle can expect to find plenty of room when he launches with the Expedition 53 crew in the fall of 2017. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4WVP repeater in Arlington, Virginia, on Tuesday nights at 7. In amateur radio, as in most things, it's not just what you know, but who you know. One ham in Queensland, Australia found that out a few years ago when the who you know ended up being an astronaut from Australia. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline Graham Kemp, VK4BB, with that story.
Shane Lyon, VK4K8Z of Central Queensland, didn't exactly have high-flying ambitions on that day 18 years ago when his signal was picked up unexpectedly by Australia's man in space, Andy Thomas, VK5MIR, on board the Russian space station Mir. It turned out to be more than just a memorable CUSO. That radio connection got him to thinking about his personal connections to space and how many learning opportunities await in the great vast void above the Earth. Not long after, Shane was invited to join as one of three Australian volunteers working with NASA, supporting amateur radio on the International Space Station. Surely Shane could relate to the thrill students would have connecting with voices in space, since he'd experienced that himself. He would also be on standby, having his shack available to NASA in case of an emergency, such as lost communication link with the space station. Along the way, Shane made some important ground-based connections too. Now, in local schools, he brings and demonstrates one of his tracking stations to students and helps them have the same space experience he enjoyed with Andy Thomas. And that happened recently when he helped students at Glenmore State High School in Rockhampton contact Kim Copra, KE5UDN, commander of the ISS. As part of the RS volunteer team, he's working to help plan plenty more connections like that. If space is a void, Shane Lyon hopes to be out there personally, doing his very best to fill that void, with the sound of ham radio, of course. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
There's a great distance between Nepal and the state of California, but when it comes to being vulnerable to earthquakes, the two are a lot closer than most people can imagine. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
The story of the 2015 Nepal earthquake is a story worth telling again and again, not just because it's important to remember the horror of that April day, but to learn from the response by radio amateurs who stepped in. That was the narrative that one of the amateurs from Kathmandu shared earlier this month on a visit to Santa Clara, California. Sanjeev Pandey, 9N1SP, made his presentation to an audience of about 100, comprising Santa Clara firefighters, Aries and Racies members, Baynet participants, and others in that city. Pandey's visit was arranged to help in fine-tuning earthquake response in this California region, especially since the Kathmandu Valley, where the April 2015 quake occurred, has a pattern of fault lines similar to those beneath this Silicon Valley city. Pandey told his listeners, quote, "The Nepali people have gone through a tremendous ordeal. If our experience can help others in different parts of the world to better prepare for disasters, then this can be regarded as a positive outcome," end quote. Pandey had come to the U.S. for the International Microwave Symposium, where he talked about ham radio in post-secondary education. But he was pleased to be able to share how ham radio provided emergency response and continued to make post-quake relief available. The magnitude 7.9 quake is considered to be the worst to hit Nepal in 80 years. His hosts and listeners had something to share with him as well. He was given two handheld transceivers as gifts to scouts in Nepal from local scout leader Richard Silkebakken, KM6CPH, and members of the Monterey Bay Council's Cub Scout Pack 32. The Global Nepali Professional Network also received a certificate of recognition from Congress, presented by Representative Mike Honda. It was the network's Radio Mala program that built two ham radio repeaters, which were the only ones able to operate in Nepal during the quake. Speaking of repeaters, Pandey made note of their successful operation and encouraged licensed hams attending the presentation to join him and his fellow hams on the N91SP repeater via IRLP and EchoLink. They'll be listening, as always. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Hams in Malaysia associate the call sign 9M2RDX with a top DXer, a mentor, a friend. This month, however, he became a silent key. Here's Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, with more.
Members of the Malaysian Amateur Radio Transmitter Society are grieving the loss of Mohd Rizal Mahmud, 9 Mike 2 Romeo Delta X-ray, who became a silent key on the 12th of June in a Malaysian hospital. The award-winning DXer was a noted contester and beloved Elmer, who was also active in scouting. Since becoming licensed in 2006, he filled his life with amateur radio activities. His friend Piju, 9 Mike 2 Papa Juliet Uniform, who notified Amateur Radio Newsline of Rizal's death, described him as, quote, "a great man, down to earth, humble, a motivated and dedicated QSL manager, also a scout leader, a great motivator who used to hold ham radio introduction classes and was involved in emergency communications. He helped his local ham radio community and also our national ham radio club. A hospital medical assistant by profession, he was described by his friend Piju as a kind and helpful guy. As seen on his profile page on QRZ, he was also unflinching in his love of amateur radio. The very bottom of his biography page displays this sentiment: life is simple. Eat. Sleep. DX. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the world of DX, there are still a few remaining days to work Koji, JM1CAX, who will stay on in Gambia as C5NX until June 18. QSLs should be directed to the Logbook of the World. Nobuaki, JA0JHQ, is active as 9N7NH from Kathmandu, Nepal, from June 16th to the 20th, and will participate in the All-Asian DX contest on June 18th and 19th. QSL via his home call. Using the call sign 3B8/M0RCX, Robert M0RCX is operating holiday style from Mauritius until July 14th. QSL manager is EB7DX. Listen for John K9EL working as FS/K9EL from St. Martin Island until June 23rd. He is on all bands 80 to 6 meters working CW, SSB, and RIDI. QSLs can be obtained via Club Log OQRS. There's nothing like kicking back on a sunny day afloat in the South Pacific, doing a little low-power transmitting on 30 meters. As the weather turns warmer, what ham wouldn't envy this kind of privilege? Okay, well, that call sign doesn't belong to any OM or even a YL, but a marine buoy with the call sign ZL1SIX. That spells B-U-O-Y for marine buoy. This is a solar-powered buoy being carried steadily on the waters of the Pacific Ocean, where it was launched from a yacht this past May 17th. Being at sea like this can be a good thing. In this case, the ocean floater is helping track sea currents and propagation. New Zealand amateur Bob Sutton, ZL1RS, noted in a published report that its weak signal on WSPR and JT9 modes has been reporting on the tides, current, and wind, also sending its battery voltage, position, and information about the temperature. To tune in, try dialing to 10.1387 MHz for WSPR. For JT9 signal, be listening just above the whisper band at 1730 Hz on the waterfall. You'll get everything but that nice South Pacific breeze. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Facebook, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Monica Grimaldo of Tuscan News Now, QSL.net, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Rando's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. June 30th will be here before you know it. That's our deadline to nominate candidates for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. Please visit our website at arnewsline.org and click on the tab that says YHOTY for information and an application. Remember to mail your applications to the New York address printed on the application. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.